Alicia half-length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row.
We'll talk the prize money increases, which was announced there yesterday by Brian Kruger, the chair of Racing Victoria, and he also spoke with Michael Felgate this morning, so we'll have a chat about that. We'll talk about the interview by the Racing Pulse team with Michael Felgate and Matty Stewart, along with Mick Sharkey, with the Racing Victoria vet Grace Forbes there yesterday, just explaining the procedures and what the international horses have to go through to get to Melbourne to compete in our greatest race, the Melbourne Cup. Plus, we'll also have a chat about this Sandown situation with Wayne Hawkes. And there's a few other interesting topics that we have on our agenda this morning. I think he's ready to go. Live from Sydney, Wayne isn't far away. There he is. G'day, Wayne. Good morning to you.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you. Where did you go? You're always telling me to hurry up regarding my introduction and you're not there on time. Unbelievable you are.
Life's good. It's all good. We're coming out of COVID and it's a bit of sunshine on the other side. It's good, eh?
Zero cases in Melbourne today, but they tell me there's a few more cases in New South Wales. You might need to get home, Wayne.
Yeah, I'm coming home. So it's, you know what? I think we've done it. We've all done it hard enough. So I think we need a few wins in the next couple of months. So great that we got zero results this morning in Victoria, that's for sure.
All right, then. Where are you this morning? I can hear the horses in the background.
I'm at a farm called Oakridge.
Okay.
It's where we spell and pre-train the majority of our horses here in Sydney. So I'm just, there's a few of them getting off the float just behind me. That's why I've walked away.
Okay, is there any particular horse there that you want to go and see today?
Masked Crusader is one that I'm going to have a look at today.
And how is he?
Well, I haven't seen him yet, but okay. I saw him a couple of weeks. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, but I'll see him again today. So, no, we've got a fair. Well, as I've told you, 1st of June theoretically is when the horses go into pre-training. So we've got a stack of a Mount Popper and all those sorts of horses are halal. They're all back in pre-training and not far off heading back into Rose Hill and Flemington.
So with the pre-training situation heading towards the spring, who does that for you? And what is the process there? Is it just a ticking over procedure in a way before they head back to the stables, the main stables at Rose Hill or Flemington? And do you want them to be ready to gallop straight away when they get back in? What's the process there?
Okay. Human terms, you go for a jog around the block for a month and then theoretically you're ready to come in and go 3/4 pace after 4 weeks of pre-training. So that's basically where it lies. So they do 4 weeks, just trot and canter, going for a jog around the block, and then away we go. They come in and they do 1 to 2 weeks of slow work, and then they go and start galloping and head towards a jump out / barrier trial.
There's plenty of news happening in the world of thoroughbred racing, and we'll have a chat about some of your team a little later on because we need a winner, Wayne. But the prize money increases announced there by Racing Victoria yesterday, $16 million. Will be the increase to prize money next season. You must be pretty happy being a participant here in Victoria about that announcement.
Well, any prize money for any industry is fantastic. You know what I mean? So 16 million, I would have been happy with 1 million. You know what I mean? So yep. 16 million is certainly a big win. And they've addressed maidens, which is great. Still never enough. I mean, when is enough? But at least they've addressed the grassroots and working their way up, and they haven't touched All-Star Miles and Cox Plates and Caulfield Cups and Melbourne Cups, which I reckon is great. We need to start at the bottom end, and I don't know how many times I've said on this show, but people will be sick of hearing me saying, maidens, get them up, get your first win, and you know we've got to be striving towards the lowest maidens being worth 30,000 and 40,000. And then drop. I mean, the 58s, horses that are running in those sort of races, well, they've had their chance, and in theory, they're dropping back, aren't they? So, you know, they're not the races that we need to be promoting, to be fair. We need to be starting with maidens and working our way up.
Where's the fine line where you work out, where you want to keep the carrot there for people to be have aspirations, goals to reach it to the top, and you reward the trainers and the horses and the owners that they get lucky enough to find a good one?
Well, 130 grand, that's what we're going to. We're going up $5,000 a race in town. And, I mean, to be fair, if you get a horse that wins a Saturday in town, you've done pretty well. So that's what we need to aspire to be fair, because, you know, you talk about a masked crusader. Well, let me tell you, they're few and far between. You don't get those quality animals very often, the nature strips and the very elegance and all the top end of town. So if we're going up another 5,000 to 130, that's a pretty good go, because if you had a horse and your trainer said, mate, we'll win a Saturday at Flemington or Caulfield, I reckon most people would take that as a tick. So,
okay, the question I ask you then, Wayne, do you think there has to be a bigger gap? Say the prize money you go into a Saturday, it's 130,000, but there has to be a bigger gap from winning a listed race. So if you win the listed race on that program, should it be a $50,000 increase to the other races on that card? How do you think that should work out?
Well, it just depends, because if you've got a filly and you win a listed race, prize money doesn't matter.
Yep.
I've said it before on this program, Exceedance won the Coolmore and he got $900,000 for the victory, and $500,000 of that $900,000 went in insurance on the Monday. So for a horse like Exceedance to win the best three-year-old race in the spring in Victoria, it's actually not about prize money. And you know what proves that? What proves that is English racing. They race for $3.50, but it's about the prestige of winning those Group Ones, and that's what they strive for. But interestingly, with the $5,000 extra on the Saturday, I don't know how they're going to spread that $5,000, but I really hope they put it for first prize money. And I'll tell you why, because in Sydney we race for 52, and basically it's 52.5 grand for first prize in Sydney. If they put the 5,000 straight on the first prize, we're going to run for basically $20,000 more in Melbourne on a Saturday to the winner. So we can promote that we're 20 grand better for winning a Saturday race at Caulfield and Flemington than what we do in Sydney.
So that's,
because, I mean, you know.
So that's the point I was getting at, that the prize money increases I probably explained it badly, but the prize money increases are great, but do you think that you need to put more cream on the top for winning?
Well, the paying down the 10th, now, that's great, and there's no issue with that, because any owner and any connections that gets prize money is a great thing. But do we reward the people running 6th to 10th? That is the question that needs to be asked. And if you're going the races and, you know, you're having 2.6, let's say, you're going to get 3.5 times 2, 7 grand. Not a bad little result, is it? 7,000. So what that's actually doing is that's actually helping field sizes. And that's what they did in Sydney. They paid down the 10th, so we actually have the field sizes, so that then, you know, we don't have the small field sizes. But I myself would only rather see it pay down the fifth, to be honest, because I reckon once you get past fifth, a little bit different in the big races, because you're paying massive amounts of money to actually to run in those races. So that's what I reckon we should have, is first to fifth in the normal races, and then the big ones, then we run down to 10th. That's only my opinion. As I said, if you're going to on a Saturday and you're running 6th and 9th, you do pick up a check. 3,500 pays a hell of a lot of training fees, doesn't it?
Just having a look at the fields, for instance, for tomorrow, there's full fields basically there at Cranbourne, 8 races, but Canterbury Park is only 6 races. Is there any reason for that?
Well, one race was deleted. I think it was the 2 and 3 year old maiden over 1550, It obviously just didn't work, that 7th race, and there was only 4 acceptors, and Gerald Ryan actually told me that this morning, so if I'm wrong, just blame Gerald, but that's where it was. And, you know, Sydney used to fall away badly, like our numbers would fall away. I remember straight after the Epsom Handicap, it was the end of their carnival, and what would happen is, I mean, the field sizes would drop back to basically 8 per race. And it was good for participants, but probably not so good if you're each-way punter and quaddies and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree there. And I do understand what you're trying to say there. So just with the prize money, once again, those increases, so you've got those group ones that the minimum now is $750,000, Wayne.
And that's what it should be, Gareth. Yeah. There should be a minimum with those races, because there are races like the Oakley Cates that were worth 500, and they've been worth 500 and 400 for the last 20 years. So now that the prize money is minimum 750, it's great when you win a Magic Millions race. I'm sure Peter Snowden will tell you it was great to win two Everest, because he didn't have two great years those 2 years he won the Everest, and statistics tell you that. So it's not like I'm boo-hooing the guy, but he won the Everest 2 years in a row, so he won as much prize money as he did when he was having cracking years. But you'll get beat more times than you win a Melbourne Cup, an Everest, a Magic Millions race. The Vobis works. Spread the love. Spread it as wide and as far as you can. And then that way, what you're doing is you're giving the smaller people in the industry a bigger chance to have a crack at the pie.
Yeah, well done to Racing Victoria. I think they got it right there with the structure, and the prize money increases is terrific for the industry. And the other point I want to bring up is the Valley has been rewarded, Wayne, with a minimum prize money increases for its 11 standard Friday night meetings, rising from $50,000 to $60,000, with its three feature meetings risen to $75,000 per race, and its three Group 1 meetings rise from $125,000 to $130,000. So Friday night, great turnover night, Moonee Valley's been rewarded there with some prize money increases. And I think you were sent the figures there the other day, is that right?
I was. I finally got the figures from Michael Brow.
Yep.
And what the figures show is that race one sucks and race eight's great. So I was the one that was wanting it the other way around, because I've always said I would have thought race one, Damien Oliver, James Cummings would rate higher, but it doesn't. So the end result is what we need to do is we need to suck it up, and I don't want to go the races for the last at Moonee Valley. I guarantee you that, especially when I'm getting up the next day. But it is what it is. It's here to stay. And this is just, it's not just a swipe at Moonee Valley here, but the bottom line is, tell us. I've said this 100 times. You people that run the industry don't own it. We all own it. So actually come out and tell us. It's not a secret. It's not a little hidden treasure. It's not a Christmas present you wrap up. Come out and actually say, these are the statistics, this is what it is. I mean, they love giving statistics when things are right, but if things aren't so right, I mean, we're in the year 2021, Gareth, and if it's not working, trim it back to where it should and run the joint like a business. I don't think anyone would be really upset if they, you know, did a few more hard things and made the parts of the industry that need propping up well and good, and the other sides that are going way too good, we'll bring them back a bit. I mean, let's be fair about it, because if I put my personal hat on, I want all the group ones to be worth more, because I've got more chance of winning it than lots of other people. But that's not what we want for the industry as a whole, because we've got to look at being here for the next 100 years.
I want to play you a grab, Wayne, of Aidan O'Brien talking at Royal Ascot during the week and explaining the difficulties that he will be having to travelling horses to Melbourne for our spring carnival.
I'm not sure whether we'll get to go to Australia with many horses at all this year, because there's a new scan thing brought in that very few horses will pass, and it's a nuclear scan that you have to inject dye into their system and for 4 days, and they have to stay in a closed box for 4 days for this nuclear thing to go. So really it's probably impossible for us to go with horses if that is one of the new things this year, but maybe that'll change. But I would imagine very few of them will get through that, or probably very few of them we would ask to do that with, and you really do that with a horse that's injured or has some kind of an injury that you can't find. So probably the answer to that is probably not.
So that scan Aidan O'Brien's talking about is a scintigraphy scan.
Yes.
And this is what Grace Forbes had to say about that. And basically the comments from Aidan O'Brien.
Well, scintigraphy is a type of nuclear medicine, and it's a common diagnostic imaging technique that's used in both humans and in veterinary medicine internationally. And it's a safe procedure, it's effective and non-invasive, and it's really effective at diagnosing conditions in horses, particularly in their upper limbs. It may be that that type of imaging modality is more commonly used in Australia. But one thing I've been in discussions with some of the Irish vets that have clinics that provide these services, and they've been able to assure me that similar as it is here in Victoria, where a horse is undergoing precautionary scintigraphy, the horses can work up to and on the morning prior to presenting to the clinic for scintigraphy. The horse is then sedated and imaged that day, and then the horse is kept in controlled conditions for approximately 24 hours, and that's to comply with radiation safety regulation requirements. And then they can be discharged the following day, and the trainer may even opt to give their horse some light work that afternoon.
So that's Racing Victoria's chief vet, Grace Forbes, explaining scintigraphy to us. And there's obviously what Aidan O'Brien was having a chat about too. So there's two different explanations there in a way, Wayne. So what's your thoughts on all of this?
The biggest thing with scintigraphy is normally, and I'll use the word broken, and it's probably not the right choice of words, but you know what? When you're sending a horse to a vet clinic and giving it scintigraphy, there's something not right. I am not sending Mask Crusader to the vet clinic just because I want to see that he's cool bananas. So you're only generally going and use Werribee vet. You're only generally going to Werribee vet when your own vet is scratching his head and going, I don't know the answer, so we need to go and take the next step. I had a horse in Sydney that had was getting broken in, and you know what? It had a bit of scintigraphy, and it came up, it was clean. Beautiful. Move on. Nothing to see. But we rested that horse, and the horse is now in the paddock having a good spell and everything like that. So they're asking these European horses to go when they're in work, when they are good, not when they are broken. So that's where the hardest part comes in, because it all gets back to the, I don't know when, if they're going to make them do it over there, that's one thing, but are they going to make them do that in Australia? Because if they do that when they get here, the questions I ask is, where's the duty of care to the trainer? What are they feeding the horse at the vet clinic? He's losing sight of his horse yet again. I mean, we are binded by all these rules and regulations, and when it suits them, those rules just go out the window. Now, to be fair to Grace, she's got a bad job right now from this part of her job, because I don't reckon she wished any horse to come from Europe, because things were going pretty good in Australia for the Melbourne Cup. But what we wished for a heap of Europeans to come in, and now the Europeans are the one that are the issue. And they're not all like it, so we don't need to grab half of my sentence and run with it and make a big scene and a big story out of it, because we all know what I'm trying to say.
What are you trying to say then?
Well, they're the ones with the problems, yep. Not us. Chris Waller and John Hawkes and James Cummings and all these great names and even small guys, they're not crashing and bashing the horses. It's as simple as that. The horses are coming from Europe, and there's a lot of contributing factors, so Racing Victoria needs to do something to pull it all back, because we know the deal. We don't need another Melbourne Cup like we just had. And that can happen any day of the year. But you know what? It doesn't happen on Slipper Day. It doesn't happen Caulfield Guineas Day. It doesn't happen in the Everest. It doesn't happen in the Cox Plate of the Caulfield Cup. So we've got issues, and they need to be fixed. But it's a really tough one what Grace has to do. Because you know what?
Is this the way to fix it?
Enough money.
Is this the way to fix it?
We need to go over there, and this is a hard time with COVID. We need to go over there, and we need to test these horses, and we need to trot them up. We need to physically look at these horses, because I've done it myself. After the race, the horse is always shuffly, and I say to the vet, mate, it's always like this. He's going, yeah, but it's sore. I'm going, but it's like this 24/7. So clinically, they are right, but so am I, because I see the horses. Not that many people would get to, but I've been to the trot-ups in Hong Kong many years ago. Fair dinkum. I mean, you should have seen how they just came out. I mean, they just came out in eights and tens and were all over the shop and looked shocking, some of those horses. But you know what? They went out and raced and they won. But the vets know the horses. So we at Racing Victoria need to actually go there. And I know it's a COVID year, but we need to go over there. Grace needs to go over there with another vet and she needs to start taking documents and looking at these horses over and over and over so that when they come to Australia, she is all over them. Because to be fair, she's only getting to see the horses when they arrive in Australia, and then we roll on with them. The other thing is, just let them have one run, because not as many are having problems with one run. But straight away, Mooney Valley and Corfield go, oh, that won't help us. But you can still come out and have one run the Cox Plate, or one run the Caulfield Cup, or one run the Melbourne Cup. But let them just have one run. We have to change things. And I don't know about making all these horses have scintigraphy. And the biggest thing I couldn't believe was, what was the quote at the bottom? They were going to have a powwow. What did they call it? Not a review, but speak to the people with the issues concerned. Well, you're already bringing out the rules. No point having talks about all this after you've brought out the rules. The rules are the rules, but I don't know. As I said, it's not Grace's fault, and she's got a hell of a job with everything loaded against her, and she's not on high enough pay bracket for this to be fair to her.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm the first, and she will tell you, I'm the first one to come at her with both barrels if it ain't right, but it's a tough decision, and she is the one that has to mop it up. And there's no right or wrong with any of this, but we must go to Europe. We must look at these horses. We must see how they are and follow these horses all the way through. And if she's looking at a horse three times before it gets on the plane, so what? And if it doesn't get on, the plane unless she thinks the horse is spot on. Now, as I said, COVID is probably going to restrict us from doing that. But that's the only way, I think, from a racehorse trainer's point of view, that I can see it working better.
Do you think maybe that we need to employ a vet in Europe to follow these horses all the way here?
No, we need to do it. We need to do it our way. What do they call it? The Newmarket Shuffle. That's the nickname down at Werribee that I was told, you know, when they just trot out in, you know, and they don't look sexy. And you know what? I don't know what Horse X trots out like, or, you know, Horse Y, but I do with my own horses. Yeah. I remember I had a horse called Yell that was champion sprinter one year, and we took him to Hong Kong, and the chief vet at the time was Paul O'Callaghan, a race in Victoria, and he said, I don't think I could pass the horse. I said, well, I don't think you should have the right to say that, because you've never seen him before, and this is how he comes out of his box every day of the week. That's the problem, and it's not their fault. But we must get a passport on these horses, and they must get their head around it. Because if they look at these horses two and three and four times before they get on the plane, then they come out here, mate, you can see the deterioration. You can see how they improve. You can see it all. But lobbing here 3 weeks before a Melbourne Cup and doing what they're doing and us vetting these horses, it's a shit show. And it's no one's fault, and it really, really is. And there's your quote. But you know what? It is, and it's no one's fault. And it's not the trainer in Europe's fault either, because over there they run on different conditions, different tracks, different everything. It's very, very difficult. But one thing I don't want to do is I don't want Racing Victoria to come in and say we need to start watering the tracks more and things like that come Melbourne Cup Day.
Just with the Sandown situation, Peter Moody was vocal on this radio station with Michael Felgate last week saying that he wants Michael to ask every trainer what they think of what should be done with Sandown. Do they think it should be sold, or should we keep it for the racing industry? It's owned by the MRC. The MRC own the land, and it's their business to run. What's your thoughts regarding this situation?
The same thing. The members own it. We all don't own it, but we all use it. So what we need to do, and I'm going to bang on about it again, head down Lara Way and let's build a super track. Let's get rid of Sandown and let's build a super track somewhere where there's two course proppers, one for winter, one for summer, two artificial tracks, one to gallop on track work and one to race on, because the tracks like Ballarat where you're training on it and racing on it, two trainers want it one way for track work and we want it firmer, obviously, for race day where there's less kickback. So having the same track doesn't really fit. So if we were selling Sandown and they were taking some of their money and putting it back into the facilities at Caulfield, that's a win. And then with the rest of the money, as an industry, we were going and we were building a massive super track somewhere. We also get around the Werribee issue because this super track is where we would go and house the European horses. And you know what? We can have all this done and dusted in 5 years and life can go on, but stop selling assets and not putting it back into other assets. We can all go and sell our assets. That's an easy way to fix things. But you keep selling the golden goose, which is your asset, and plenty of clubs have done it. Well, where's all the money end up? It's as simple as that. But I've got no issue selling Sandown, but get rid of Sandown and use part of the money for Caulfield and the rest of the money to build a super track, because we just need a pack of them super-sized up with double the facilities that they've got there, and we can go there and we can have 100 meetings a year there. And that sounds crazy, but that's only two days a week at this other super track, wherever it may be. But that is the way of the future, and that's what we need to do, because we have so many issues, Gareth, with racetracks. Sydney are about to get theirs. Do you know why? Because they're about to go from 8s to 9s to 10 races on a Saturday. It's got to give somewhere. There's no doubt about it. We race on grass. It's an outdoor sport, and something's got to give.
Is 10
We've
races
got one track?
Yeah, is 10 races too many on the one day?
No, it's not. But when you do it every week, something's got to give. It's as simple as that. You know, you go and ask Liam, who has Melbourne Cup Week, Liam O'Keefe, the curator, he'd rather have probably 8 races by 4. You know what I mean? Not having 39, I think they have, 10, 10, 10, 9, or whatever it is. So, you know, something has to give. Since Sandown was built in 1966, correct me if I'm wrong, but Pakenham's been built, and I don't think we've had another one built in Victoria. Do you reckon that's a good model? In the last 50 years, we've had one racetrack built? The answer is it can't be. So if we get rid of a couple of these other tracks that we're not utilising properly, get the government to put the money into these new super tracks, and let's go. Let's make Warrnambool. Let's make Ballarat. Let's make Cranbourne and Pakenham and this other super track a monstrous place that we can house the internationals, and we can do it. And where Lara works down that way near Geelong is, guys like me would be happy to go to Geelong and happy to live there, put your kids through Geelong. You know, you've got a footy team, you've got a massive place you can go and live, not at Narnagoon where there's not much infrastructure around you.
I don't know if that'll happen from the sale of Sandown, because it's an MRC-owned own asset. So.
Yeah, you know what? I get that. But the bottom line is, Gareth, we've got to work together as one industry. We've got to stop pulling, because at the end of the day, MRC is about MRC, but they certainly put their hand out to RVL when it suits them. And they're not self-funded, I don't think, are they?
I think they go pretty well. What do you mean self-funded?
Do.
Yeah, I think the MRC.
They get prize money given back to them like every other club does. So we have to look together. We've got to stop this Melbourne-Sydney thing. We've got to look at it as an industry together. Yep. You know what? They own Sandown, but you know what? Let's do all the great things with it. Let's put a statue of whoever the chairman is that says yes to this and build a super track somewhere and look at it as an industry. Have you ever been to Shaunty or Newmarket? They're two of the greatest places in the world. Well, you know, it was a bit like someone said to me the other day, the foresight that guy had when he built the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the 6 lanes wide either way 150 years ago, mate, he would have been boo-hooed. They probably needed one lane either way, but he built it 6 lanes either way. Steve McCann from Lendlease said it. And you know what? It's 100% right, Gareth.
We're running out of time a little bit. Mars Crusader, he's booked his place for the Everest. Rupert Lee was on Perth Radio, on Tab Radio this morning, saying that he wants Willie Pike to ride. Is it his decision?
Perth Radio saying you want W. Pike. Yeah, good.
No, but Rupert Lee was quoted. Yeah, Rupert Lee came from his mouth.
You know what? I want the jockey that's going to win on the horse. That's what I want. Pike's ridden some good races. He's ridden some bad ones for us too. But the wizard goes good. Make no mistake.
Are you
about
surprised
that
there's already been 5 horses locked into the Everest?
Not really, because there's only a small amount of small pool to pull from, and when you're not Bon Ho with Classic Legend or Masked Crusader with our guys, they've got a slot. You know, Chautauqua had a slot those couple of years.
Yeah,
mate, people have got to get set. So Peter Volandi's one of them talking about the Everest. We've been talking about the Everest every other week, so it's working, isn't it?
We need to get through a few questions. Wayne, how is Remark looking?
Remark looks great. He looks fantastic. He is one goddamn son of you know what. He looks magnificent.
Yep. G'day, Gareth and Wayne. What happens if this year's Melbourne Cup is nearly all Australian horses and a horse dies? Where do you go from here? Scanning all the others, yes,
good.
Great. But what happens if a local dies? Where does RV go from there?
You know what? The Australian horses haven't been the issue, but that's not to say that horses can't go amiss, because this is a horse race. It is as simple as that. We're not the bad egg here. So can it happen? Of course it can happen. But you know what? It's probably not the great line, but there is a line that's called That's Racing, and unfortunately, it's happened before and it'll happen again.
Morning, can we please ask Wayne about Atlantic Seas at Moe Thursday? Has some very nice quiet jump outs.
Yeah, she has, but I don't know what the track's going to be at Moe. I would have thought it'd be a heavy 15, so purposely gone to the grass, not the artificial, but I don't know how she's going to handle the the track, so pedigrees and things like that stand for nothing. So, you know what? I wouldn't be betting on a wet track. There you go.
Do you have a winner for us this week?
I like Electric. He's a nice horse. He's done everything right. His first run was great. So I think he'll run well tomorrow at Canterbury.
Now, I want to play you a grab. Steve Irwin's a great man in this racing industry, one of the great breeders that this country has had. Now, I want to play you a grab from his old man that... His old man is suffering dementia, but he plays these wonderful videos. He reminisces sometimes when they go out for their weekly catch-up about the old days. And this is a grab talking about a young Wayne Hawkes who went to visit Mr. Irwin at one of his farms one day.
Do you remember when Wayne Hawkes come up and worked at Blanford when John sent him up?
He come up and what?
When Wayne Hawkes come up to the farm. Yeah, can you remember when he come up to Blanford? No, because, yeah, John Hawkes sent him up. He would have only been about 16 or 17.
Oh, I would have done that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to give him a bit of a roughing up. I did.
Yeah, he was a bit cheeky. That's where Hawksy sent him up, I think.
Yes. I think that's what it was.
Yep.
And, and I used to carry a broom... purposely because of him.
Yeah.
Hit him up the and he wouldn't go. He used to jib. Yeah. He used to turn around, you're gonna hit me, aren't you? You won't do that, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, because he got set up and he'd done a yearling prep or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came away, yeah. Yeah, he came and I don't know whether he finished up going to...
Yeah, that's Mr. Irwin. Is he right there, Wayne? Is that true?
Not quite. But you know what? nothing's changed. So, you know what? A leopard doesn't change its spots, Gareth. I reckon it must be time for an ad break. I'm going.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. There's Wayne Hawkes. That's Wayne's World. 5 minutes past 11. Time for a break. And we'll come back with the Form Express on this Tuesday.